Very happy Easter to you. We are celebrating the risen Jesus. I know. This is church. And you know what? Sometimes I think when we say, you know, what does it mean that Jesus has risen from the dead? I think sometimes we misunderstand it. You know, we understand that Jesus came to earth to reveal what God is like. To walk amongst us, to show what an uncorrupted life could look like, to help us to understand God's goodness and his mercy, his kingdom, his love for us as he demonstrates the healing of the sick and his compassion and his mercy, but also that we understand that we need a savior. I think most people know that. One of the guys in the band was chatting to somebody and they met them for coffee and they said, I just need a savior. Can you help me? And he said, I know someone. I know someone that can do this. This is Jesus. And we know that there has been a separation between us and God. And we even in the Easter week, we kind of see something of the way our hearts can change. You know, Palm Sunday, everybody's out on the streets, throwing the branches, Hosanna to the Son of David, and literally in a few days, crucify him, crucify him. Our hearts can change. In the production, that's what we see, somebody having an encounter with Jesus, but then for one reason or another, they felt separated by sin. And you know, even the most hard-hearted person that has walked this earth can look at the crucifixion of Jesus and understand that it was unjust, that the most wonderful man that has walked the earth was subjected to the cruelest of death. Even the criminals that are crucified with him say, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And I want you to understand this morning on this Easter Sunday, when Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price for our sin in full. For my sin and your sin, it has been paid for in full. But forgiveness is useless if you are dead. You see, when we say the debt has been paid, what is the point if you cannot live debt-free? The problem with debt is no matter what you do, there's no way out of it. You can't seem to get out of it. If it's financial debt and you've ever been there, you know, the interest just starts mounting up and mounting up. The interest is more than the original debt. And it feels like there is no hope. You can't see any way out. Step in the risen Jesus. This is what the resurrection is about. On Friday, we celebrate the debt has been paid, but on the Sunday, we celebrate Jesus is alive. So grab your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20. And we're going to stand as we read the Bible. Why don't you stand? This is John chapter 20, verse 1. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths were lying there, yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Grab a seat. what is it about the linen cloths that caused John, the other disciple, to believe? All the Gospels record this. So there's something important here that we mustn't miss. And the word for folded can mean twirled. And what John appears to have seen is that when he went to the tomb, there were the bandage and the cloths that were wrapped around the crucified Jesus. And they were still in the form, shape of a body, yet obviously he was no longer there, as if he had literally just passed through them. And as he'd passed through these bandages, it was like he'd taken off the one over his head and laid it down on the floor. There was something quite supernatural, quite special, that when John sees it, something goes off in his heart and he believes in the resurrection. John Stott, a famous theologian who died a few years ago, he uses an illustration a bit like a chrysalis from which a beautiful butterfly emerged. You know, that Jesus left the grave clothes behind and steps into this new resurrection body. But what I want to say is what happened to Jesus is totally different from what happened to Lazarus. Remember, just a little bit before, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, Lazarus had to be helped out of his grave clothes, and eventually he dies again. But not so with Jesus. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, steps out of death into resurrection life. You see, the chrysalis illustration doesn't really work for me, because with a chrysalis, a worm goes in and a butterfly comes out. Jesus didn't go into death as a worm, but this beautiful man who lived unto God, who had proved God right and us wrong, gives himself for us at the cross and dies. But on the Sunday morning, he doesn't come out of the grave a mere man. He steps through death and enters the resurrection life, what Paul says, the first of the resurrection, to become King and Lord of Lords over all of the powers, all of the dominions, all of the principalities, all of the nations. Jesus steps out of the tomb as Lord of Lords. This is how Paul describes the resurrected Jesus in Colossians. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. That's how Paul describes the risen Jesus. You see, when Jesus steps out, he's not this mere man, but now he is Lord and King over all of the creation. Now the principalities and the powers that have caused havoc on the earth see the risen King and ushering in the kingdom of God on earth. And this is what he says. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the risen Christ. You're not coming to a tomb. You're not coming to die. You're coming to live. He says, if anyone thirsts, if anyone's hungry, let him come to me and drink. And rivers of life-giving water will flow from you. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. You will find your life in me. You need me. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says, do you believe this? Do you believe in the resurrected Jesus? You see, if you do, you can invite him into your life. In fact, he's banging at the door of your life. He has been calling to you. And as you believe and as you hear, you can invite him in. He comes in by his Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power, that same person that raised Jesus, that enabled him to walk through the grave clothes, we invite, and he comes and makes him a home in our life so that we can step into new life. In fact, no one talks about eternal life more than Jesus. He calls us to live with him. You know, people are finding faith around here all the time at the moment. I found Jesus when I was 13 and he transformed my life. Juliet, when she was 21, and her life has totally turned around. Our children, when they were about 7 or 8 years old, and they've walked with Jesus. You know, many of you, you know, have done that in your university years or your youth. You know, we've even led and baptized people in their 90s to Jesus. That is leaving it a little bit late, but we'll do it. And as people have found Jesus, they found a new boldness. They found a new life and they found a new purpose. Shemaiah, where are you? Come on, where are you? Ah, you're sitting in the same place, but I still couldn't see you. Come on up here. So I was at youth a week ago or something, and I heard this story, and I knew you would love to hear it. But first, so how long have you been a Christian?
Since I was like really, really young.
Really little. Like, how? I mean, about that little? Like that, about yeah. That. She comes from good stock. All right, and I want to tell you, the best testimony in the world is, the truth is, I never knew a time when I didn't know Jesus. Okay, sometimes we want a testimony, you know, I was a murderer, I was this, and I got saved, and everything changed. The best testimony is, do you know what? There's never been a time when I didn't know Jesus. Anyway, we were at youth, I might get distracted. So we were at youth, and you were telling a story of what happened at school. Yeah. So tell us a bit about it.
So basically, it was like last week, it was lunchtime and I overheard my friend and my head teacher, they were talking about Easter. So as I was going down to get lunch, I was like, oh, why don't we do an Easter assembly? So me and my friend, we planned out an assembly, then we did it to like our year groups. And we're just highlighting like the Easter story, but not just the story, but why is it important for not just Christians, but non-believers as well.
So what did you tell them about? So you stood up in front of the whole school, all your friends and peers. So what did you tell them about Good Friday?
So we told them, like, the reason why Jesus went and died on the cross, because children, they're taught, like, Jesus died, but, like, they don't know why. So we're telling them that Jesus died in an act of love. He died because he loves all of us, like, even the non-believers, like, the ones that sin, like, so much. He loves every single one of them. So we're just highlighting that Jesus loves them, and they just need to accept Christ, and he'll accept them back.
So you asked people if they were, so you told them all about accepting Jesus and on Sunday he rose from the dead?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And you probably stood in front of nearly 1,000 people. Yeah? Yeah. How did it feel?
Felt great.
You thought she was going to say scared, didn't you? All right. I said at first service, I need to offer her a job. All right, because there's something about, I remember when I was your age doing exactly the same thing and telling the school about Jesus and accepting him into their lives. And it isn't a scary thing. There's like a boldness that comes up because he is inside of you. He comes and makes his home, and that it's he who changes everything. So you're going to get your schooling done. You're going to get your exams done, and then I'll give you a job. Deal? Okay. As you came in, you might have noticed that there was a cross in the foyer, and there were loads of these little cards pinned to it. They're stuck to it, actually. And what we want you to do, we've over the last few years, we've just seen many come to Christ. I think it's nearly 500 now come to Christ in 2 years. And what we want you to do is write the people's names that you know that need Jesus in their life. It could be for many reasons. It may be a work colleague. It may be a child. It may be a husband or a wife. But they need Jesus. And you don't need to say why. Just write their name and pin it to the cross. Because at the cross, all of our sin has been paid for. But we need to cash the check at the resurrection. There needs to be an acceptance, and as Jesus bangs at the door of our heart to invite him in so that there can be this new life. You see, the psalmist says, I'm moving ahead. So what we want you to do is write their name and just stick it to the cross. And then this week, we're going to pray over them all. And you can pray. And what you will see is one by one, they'll start walking up here to the altar and giving their lives to Jesus. That's how it works. Okay, that as we lift up people's names, we've seen it here again and again, they'll walk down and they'll give their lives to Jesus. So the psalmist says, he will show me the path of life. Jesus rose from the dead so that you could find life and that he could lead you into the path of life he has for you. He goes on, in your presence is fullness of joy. How do you know you have Jesus? There's joy. Have you looked around this place? There is a joy in this place. Jesus has broken in. And then he says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's talking about resurrection life, living debt-free, being able to start again, but this time with him inside of you. This is how we were designed to live. And so Jesus says, today, Easter Sunday, 2024, come to me. The bride and the spirit say, come to Jesus. The revivalists throughout history have said, give your life to Jesus. It's the most important decision you can ever make. And then this morning, the people of this church say, come and find Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. Come to Jesus. Let him lead you into the paths of life. Let him forgive your debt of sin. It has been nailed to the cross so that you can be filled with his joy, this power of his resurrection. Leave your old life behind and now walk with him. And he will fill you and he will fill you and he will keep on filling you. He will fill you with joy, but he will also present each one of us before the Father. And there's going to be a day when we all stand before the throne room. And Jesus is going to step down and he's going to go, Dad, this is my woman. This is my bride. Look how beautiful she is. Look how wonderful she is. This is why I endured the cross, for the joy of presenting my bride to my Father. C.S. Lewis describes it this way. All their life in this world and all their adventures had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. He says, here's my bride, Father. Now we enter in to the great adventure. You see, today we celebrate the risen Jesus. There is more proof that Jesus walked the earth than any other person. But do you believe he's been raised from the dead? Do you believe in your heart that he is alive? If you can say yes, he forgave your sin on the cross, but now he invites you to eternal life. But you have to cash the check. You have to say, take my debt and come into my life, Jesus. The debt has been paid in full. Now you get to learn to live in resurrection life, resurrection power. When I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't understand it all. But the Holy Spirit came upon me. I remember my heart pounding. So I yielded to him. And I want to ask you this morning, everyone here, will you yield to Jesus today? Will you invite him to be your preeminence? Will you invite him in your life to take the place of Lord and King? And will you walk in his ways? That's what Easter Sunday is about. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. Come to me and I will give you life. I'm done. You can stand.